Morning. Good morning. Good morning. If you're glad to be in the house of the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I sure am thankful to see all of your smiling faces. I'm glad you thought enough about your Savior to come and worship Him today. If you are visiting with us, welcome again. I'm glad to see everyone here. Luke chapter number 4 this morning. I'll try to preach quick this morning. I know we have a business meeting. I'll try to preach quick. You listen quick and I'll try to preach quick. The way I know you're listening quick is if you're smiling, not sleeping, and occasionally somebody says, amen. There we go, Brother Scott. He got it. You can count on him. I bet you he gets 100 of them in this morning. All right. Here we go. For every amen, I'll knock off 1 minute. How about that? There's one. Woo! Heads bowed, eyes closed. All right. Luke chapter number 4. It's good to have fun in the house of the Lord too, isn't it? Good to smile. Don't have to come here and be all uptight. I love Christians. I love being a Christian. Luke chapter number 4, verse 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil." Now let me just stop right there real quick and just tell you. If Jesus was tempted of the devil, you realize you're going to be tempted of the devil, right? Okay, everybody understands that. Your Savior was tempted of the devil, but see, the difference in he and you is he sinned not in his temptation. Read this now. "And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered." I don't know about you, but I'm not going 40 days without eating. There's another minute off the sermon. I got the point. "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee." Are you listening to what the devil is saying to Jesus? He knows exactly who he's talking to, by the way. "All this power will I give thee." As if Satan has something to offer Jesus that he doesn't already have. "And the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." And look what the Lord said. "Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now understand, first of all, before we carry on, I want you to understand this is Jesus speaking. He did not have to say it is written. He is still God. Everybody understands that, right? But I love the fact that he went to the Scripture. And here's the cool thing. Jesus is supposed to be our example of whom we are supposed to be following, right? So when Satan tempts us, wouldn't it be real easy if we were to just say, well, it is written. And Satan's like, he has no power there. You start quoting that scripture to him, guess what he has to do? Flee. It is written, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence." Now he's blaspheming him is what he's doing. "For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is what, church? Said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and your truth once again. Help us this morning. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Lord, bind the devil off this place. We don't want him anywhere near here. Let us hear from heaven this morning. Let us understand that thy word is truth, and Lord, thy word is what we need in every single day of our lives. It's our defense. It's our hope. It's our salvation. Lord, help us understand that this morning. Meet with us now, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all God's people say it. Amen. Amen. So, Jesus himself was tempted. Jesus was tempted with a natural hunger in verse number 4. How did he respond? He said, "Man shall not live by what, church? Bread alone, but by every word of God." So, Why should we trust the Word of God? I want to go through five reasons this morning why I think, or biblically, why we can prove biblically why we should trust the Word of God. Go with me to Psalm chapter number 33. And trust me, there's hundreds of reasons why you ought to trust the Word. But let's just look at a few. Number one, I think we should trust the Word because the Word of the Lord is always right. Say that back with me. The Word of the Lord is always right. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Psalm 33 and verse number 4. For the Word of the Lord is what, church? And all His works are done in truth. For the Word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the Word of the Lord were the heavens made. Do you realize God literally spoke this earth into existence? His words created man. His words created woman. His words created the birds. His words created the seas. His words created the mountains. And I'll tell you what, if you've never seen real mountains, you ought to go take a trip to Alaska someday. One of them, I mean, and look, this place is beautiful. Don't get me wrong. This is home. But I'm telling you right now, if you step foot in Alaska, where I lived in Seward, and you see an ocean and a bay surrounded by just mountaintops, I'm talking thousands and thousands of feet up and snow peak mountaintops surrounding and the sun glistening off them every day, you'll have no doubt there's a God somewhere. That'll change your mind real quick. I've heard of many people come there as tourists and say, you know, if anyone doubts there's a God, they should come here. Listen, look around you. God spoke all that into existence. He spoke it. That's what He done. The Word of the Lord is always right. By the Word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. So because the Word of the Lord is right, that's why I should trust the Word of the Lord. You say, where are you going with that? Well, let me just say it like this. I know we can say this for eternity, and we probably will, but in reality, every single day we wake up and we have decisions to make. And did you know that God cares about His children? How many are a child of God? Say amen. Amen. Listen, do you think that God cares about your decisions that you're making? Listen, did you know that if you ask God, say, Lord, I'm kind of confused. And by the way, that's thought number one or fact number one, that God's not part of that, because the Bible teaches that God is not the author of what? Confusion. So if you're confused, it must be of who? The devil. God is not the author of confusion. He's a very true, a very factual God, and His Word is always right. So when we're making decisions, you might go and seek the Lord, and you might open the Scripture, and you just might start reading, and the Holy Spirit will start talking to you and leading you and guiding you into all truth, and those decisions will all of a sudden become a whole lot easier. Just trust the Word of the Lord that it's always right. Number two, the Word is a defense to sin. Go to Psalm 119. The Word is always right. Number two, the Word is a defense to sin. I'm glad I don't have to trust in my flesh to defend sin, aren't you? In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. But look what the Bible says in Psalm 119. Let's look at verse 9 first. Wherewithal shall a young man, what's the next three words? Cleanse his way. That's a question mark. It says, by taking heed thereto according to what? Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from what? Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. So if there's any possible way as a Christian, and by the way, if you've never reached the point in your Christian life where you don't desire to sin, something is wrong. It's time to grow or it's time to get saved. I'm just saying, if you are a believer and the same Holy Spirit is living within you that lives within me, you are not going to love sin. You're going to hate it. Now, the Bible does teach that sin is pleasurable for what, church? A season. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Look, as a Christian, you should hate sin. The Holy Spirit that is living within you hates sin. And by the way, the Bible says, where sin abound, grace did what, church? Much more abound. So that's factual evidence. When you think about doing wrong, the Holy Spirit if you are saved, is living within you and is going to prompt you to do right every single time. And if you never have that prompting of the Holy Spirit to do right, church, I'm not your judge, but I believe the Bible. Hello? Everybody okay? And here's another thing. Once you do wrong, do you feel bad about it? I've heard plenty of people say, I don't feel bad about that. Hey, the Holy Spirit hates sin. But here's what we miss. God loves the sinner. See, if you don't have this stuff as evidence of salvation, I would challenge you this morning to get into your Word, the Word of God, and compare your version of salvation with what God says salvation is. We're going to get into that here in just a minute. But it's very important to understand the Word is a defense to sin. So how is it that I'm going to, if I'm possibly going to live as righteousness, as righteous as I possibly can, and live acceptable and holy life unto God and present my body a living sacrifice, how am I going to do it? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I have to take heed thereto according to the Bible. What the Bible tells me, I have to believe. And if I don't, listen, church, nothing's going to change. You're not going to change yourself. Your flesh is never going to say, do right. It's not. It loves wickedness. In this flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. So the only possible way that I'm going to be as righteous, and the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. The only way I'm going to be as holy as humanly possible is by the Word of God. It has to be the defense for sin. And it is a defense of sin. Number three, Psalm 119, 28. The Word is strength when I'm feeling heavy or beat down. How many would say, hey, just this week I've had some heavy hearts? All of us have had heavy hearts. Maybe not right now. Maybe not yesterday. But listen, in times you've had a heavy heart before. Believers have heavy hearts. Things happen in life that we cannot control, that are out of our realm of even understanding sometimes. But let me tell you something. God's the Alpha and Omega. He sees the beginning from the end. He holds the keys to death and He holds the keys to hell. God knows all things. God is never surprised by your hurt. And can I tell you something? God never wastes pain. Say, what are you talking about? Well, let's take a journey back to the cross. Do you think it was painful in Jesus' flesh to go through what He went through? It was. Very painful. You know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ was just like you and me, except He, yet without sin. He was a man. And yet He was God, but He had flesh. It's not like when they beat Him with that whip, it just went straight through Him like He's some invisible God. No, no, no. The Bible says He was unrecognizable. Not a single bone was broken, though. Aren't you thankful for that? Listen to this. The crown of thorns was put upon His head. It's not like it was just some invisible being there going through that. God never wastes pain. Why did He have to go through that pain? Because He took your sin and my sin upon Himself and died and paid the punishment for you so that you could have life and have life everlasting. But look, you don't just inherit that. You have to believe and you have to confess. You must understand that you are not going to die and go to heaven because you came to church today. You are not going to die and go to heaven because you have been a member of this church for 30, 40, 50 years. It does not matter. When there comes a day where the Holy Spirit of God convicts you and says, hey, without me, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. At that moment, you better get right. Because guess what? He just enlightened you. Just like He said He would lighten every man. The very moment you understand, I don't believe there's a certain age, but I do believe this, God lightens every man, every one of us. Some at young ages, some at older ages. But here's the deal. God will lighten you. God will reveal Himself unto you. And the moment He does that, you're not promised another opportunity. He did not say he would lighten you 10, 15, 20, 30 times. Now, some people get those opportunities, but you're not promised to make it out of this building today. If God lightens you and says, hey, you walk out of here today without me, without the sacrifice that I provided for you, without the free gift of eternal life, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. You walk out those doors and you die knowing that, guess where you're going to go? The rich man died, and the Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And he started begging for Lazarus to dip his finger in water and to come down and just touch his tongue so he could have a drop of water for some relief. And he started begging for somebody to go to his brothers to warn them not to come to that awful place. Listen, this church is not your salvation. We're going to learn that here in just a second. But this word is strength. When I'm feeling heavy or when I'm feeling beat down, look at Psalm 119, verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. You know, it's sad. You hear the stories of what people turn to when they get upset or when they get down. I turn to this and I turn to that. Well, how you feel the next morning when you wake up and the problem's still there? I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to say his name, but I have a prayer request I'd like the church to pray for. There's a man in the community whose son committed suicide about 7 years ago. And he's reached out to me twice now. Just met him at that football practice. He calls me preacher man. And I like that. Helps me stay accountable. But here's the deal. He's reached out to me and he said, preacher man, that suicide note is stuck right here. I don't know what to do about it. Ain't nothing in this world ever going to bring my baby back. Oh, but you know what I want to teach him? I want to teach him about a God in heaven who can bring him some healing and who can bring him some help and who can help him not get over that, but help him through that trial. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for some help. And church, that's why we're here. I told one of my kids the other day, I said, sports are great, aren't they? Sure. But I said, you know what? If we never win a football game and we get to lead that man to the Lord, we just won a championship. Church, that's what it's about. That's exciting to think that a man, a lost man, bitter as could be, has enough unction to come to a preacher and looking for help. Say, why is it important to keep my testimony? Oh, because of those people. Hello? Very important. We need to be a light. You know what I want to be? I want to show him the word that can give him some strength to make it another day. He told me when it happened, he was driving from Atlanta and he saw a brick wall on the side and he thought about ending his own life. And then something told him, don't do it. You got five more boys at home and a wife. And guess what? He's still married today. Still has five other boys. But he's just living in constant depression. Did you know that God can help him with that? This word can bring some freedom. I promise you it can. Because I'm going to tell you something. You know what God did? He lost a son. You guys ever think about it like that? It's kind of, people say all the time, what's the worst thing you could possibly think about? I'll just be honest, losing my wife or my kids. I couldn't think of anything worse. I mean, I've lost grandparents, and you know that's sad. But losing my wife or my kids, hey, God gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for you. And not just to die for you, to die for your wickedness. Do we understand that? Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life. He called you his friends, even when you were lost. There's some strength in the word. But here's where we want to get to. I believe the Lord's leading us here this morning. I know we talked about salvation a little bit, but listen. I believe the Lord's prompting to talk about it a little bit more. And you know, if there's one here that needs to hear it, please don't walk out of here today. Listen, don't do it for me. If God is convicting you and letting you know your need for a Savior, listen, He's doing you a big favor. He's letting you know, hey, my son Jesus died for you. I sent that preacher today to preach this message so that you could hear about my free gift of salvation. Listen to my words. You're not promised tomorrow. Don't walk out of here and say, I'll get saved next Sunday. I need to think. No. You don't know if you're going to be here next Sunday. You might be like the rich man and wake up in hell. And guess what? You'll remember the preacher that preached to you. You'll remember the Holy Spirit that convicted you and gave you the opportunities. Church, let's just move on right here. Psalm 119, verse 41. Why should I trust the Word? Well, because the Word is where I find my answer for salvation. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy Word. We're going to go on a little journey here. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. I want you to see this, and this is for you. If you're lost in here today, I'm going to take you on this journey right now because I believe the Lord wants us to go on it. And I want you to see biblically, first of all, why you in and of yourself cannot gain heaven. You're not just going to die good enough for heaven. Why? Because you're not good enough. Oh, but Jesus is good enough. His sacrifice that he gave for you is good enough. You must go through the blood. It has to be through Jesus. Let's go on this journey. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Some of you can quote it. What does it say? For by grace are you saved through what? And that not of what, church? Yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of what? Works, lest any man should boast. So in just those two verses, the Bible teaches me there's nothing in and of myself that can save me. And then it goes on and teaches you that you cannot work your way there. You can be a good person and die, and people could talk about your legacy forever, but you could be in hell while they're talking about your legacy that you left and built up here on earth. It must be through Jesus. You cannot work your way there. Look at Romans chapter number 10. This is very important stuff. And you know, this shouldn't be old news to any of us. We should all enlighten ourselves sometimes and just be thankful for these verses that someone showed to us and God made real to us and we believed unto salvation. It's Romans chapter number 10, verse 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt, what's the next word? With thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt what, church? Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Here it is. Thou shalt be what? For with the heart man believeth unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto what, church? Look at Matthew 7:21. We could go on and on. We got a few more verses. I'm going to show you this. I want you to understand. I do not, if I have any goal in mind today, it would be that no one sitting under the sound of my voice leaves here not knowing for sure at least how they can be saved. I want you to understand that. Matthew 7, verse 21. Now look at this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the what? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What are you talking about? I'm talking about, let me just show you. Go to 2 Peter. Let me show you what the will is. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read that Matthew chapter 7 again, and then I'm going to show you the contrast here. Matthew 7, 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know what he's saying? Not every single one of you sitting in these pews that say you're saved are probably saved. There's a lot of you who really probably don't understand salvation. I didn't understand salvation for a long time until someone took the Bible and I had to make up my mind that the Bible is true and there was no other way to heaven but by the blood. Listen, it doesn't matter if you say you're saved. It doesn't matter if you raise your hand during the altar call. Oh yes, I've been saved. Preacher, I got baptized when I was 10 years old. I don't care. No baptism ever saved anybody. Can I tell you this? No prayer ever saved anybody. The Bible doesn't say prayer saves you. So don't count on a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me prayer. I don't believe in that. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's Bible. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. Why? Because you had a head knowledge. but you had no heart knowledge. You've heard it for your whole life. How could God let me go to hell? I've been going to church here forever. Do you know how many young men and women that I've led to the Lord? Let me tell you something. A lost man can lead someone to the Lord any day of the week. How? Because the Bible's still true. All they got to do is open up the Bible, and all the lost person has to do is believe it. You can have a head knowledge of how to do this thing, but a head knowledge is not going to get you to heaven. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So what is the will of God? Look at 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Look at this. Not willing that any should what, church? But that all should come to what? You know what God's will is? It's for you to understand that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. That's the whole reason Jesus died. If you, as a lost person in here today, and there may not be any lost people, but I'm just saying this is a pretty big crowd for everybody to be saved. If you, as a lost person, understand, man, if this Bible's true, I'm up the creek without a paddle. You ever heard that saying? Church, that's where you're at. If you're lost, there's only one way. And it's pretty simple. I'm trying to show you right now. I'm trying to help you. But God's will is for you to understand that Jesus Christ indeed did die for your sins. But he didn't just die. He was buried, but he rose himself back up. And by the way, you know that's a picture of baptism? Buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. Jesus got baptized, didn't he? And then he started his earthly ministry. You remember that? When he came up out of the water, immersion, that's why we baptize with immersion. You know what God said after Jesus was baptized? This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hey, but would Jesus still have went to heaven if he didn't get baptized? Sure he did. But you know what he was doing? He was obedient to the Scriptures. He was letting the world know. Baptism is a picture and type to the world that we are followers of Christ. It's not a salvation thing. It's an outward appearance of an inward change is what it is, to simplify it. It's just a first step of obedience after salvation. But if we were to understand this morning that God did send Jesus to die for our sins. Everybody understand that? And Jesus did die for our sins, right? He did die for our sins. That's no joke. He did die. And he didn't stay dead. And church, listen, he's not going to stay gone. He absolutely ain't going to stay gone. And one day you're going to breathe your last breath. It might be tomorrow. It might be before I stop preaching. You never know. At this rate, it might be. But listen, all joking aside, is it really worth taking the chance not knowing? And can I tell you something? If you're sitting here this morning, I'm just going to brag it to you. You've been lightened. You have heard. You have been warned. You are without excuse. God wants every single one of us to be saved. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, what? But by me. One more, Acts 4:12. I believe this is very important. Acts 4 and verse 12. Look at verse 11 first. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, but there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be, what, church? You can find that name in verse 10, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That is the way. Why should I trust the Word? Because the Word is where I can find my salvation. And lastly, Psalm 119:49. If you get there before me, say amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119:49. The Word is where I can find hope. Aren't you glad that you as a Christian have some hope? And let me tell you a secret. You as a lost individual sitting in here this morning, I'm going to help you out here. You have some hope too. You know what your hope is? Your hope is that you still have time right now to be saved. You can still hope in the Lord. You still have a chance. You're still breathing. God has given you another chance this morning. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Look at verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to what? Hope. Miss Barb's going to come this morning. Listen, it's a pretty simple message this morning. I believe the word of God is very important. Could you play that song, Just As I Am? Thank you.